So what is it that I will say happened this morning, this evening that I will give to you? He said, because one day, I've been listening to you preach. I said, that the things you have been teaching, they have changed my life. The other day, I was doing one work in one particular place. He described it. When they said I should charge, I remember something you said. I applied that principle. I refused to charge. I said, listen, just watch the work I'm going to do. I put in the excellence into it. He said, do you know what? By the time they finished paying me, they paid me more than double what I was even willing to charge. Praise God. The word, the Lord is good. I said, He said, so you are going to give me 2 CDs. The result of all of this is I will give you 2 CDs. People like you in ministry, in this world, we don't need the devil. With Christians like that, what? The devil has no work again. These are enough tempters. When they go for temptation, the devil just say, I have 2 Christians there. You do the temptation for me. I don't need to work. I was looking at him. You sat here, explained to me how I have blessed you with the word of God. You sat here, told me how my work is helping you. Then finally, what is the result? You will dash me 2 CDs. God knows why he didn't allow Christians to fight. You know, some things will have started a war before you realize. They say, man of God, you're a man of God, though. He said, okay, am I a man of God? Those are the temptations, though. Like I said, that's when you know what is right to do, then temptation comes that you should do the opposite. So we've seen 2 situations now. One, what do we even know that is right to do? We may not know it. Then 2, sometimes we do know what is right to do, but there are temptations. And the Lord Jesus faced it. That's why I'm trying to be practical about it. He faced it. He went there, he saw that this cross was difficult, and what did he do? And that's what I'm getting to again. He went to go and what? To pray. There are two things I want to say today, just based on those 2 things I said about prayer and the will of God, that how to pray yourself into God's will. Listen, I said something the other day. Prayer doesn't mean you speak good English. Are you getting my point? It's not the ability to enunciate properly and to speak it well. No. You don't even have to do much thinking in prayer. What you need to do is just take the word of God, discover what it says concerning you. Just arrange the scriptures, get up and read them one after the other. Read them from the bottom of your heart. Read each one, read it out. And that's what you have prayed. What am I trying to say? At such times, like now, I don't know what to do. I either go to the left or go to the right. Not everybody will have the conscious knowledge of God's plan for them, God's will for them before they walk in it. You know what I mean by will in this context now? It's not everybody that will have it. Joseph did not have, I use that as my illustration all the time. Joseph did not have the conscious knowledge of what God wanted him to do. Never. Go and check his life. He had a dream that he hardly knew the interpretation of. When he went into Egypt, it was not an arrangement between him and God. It was an arrangement between him, between God and his brothers and some Ishmaelites. That was how he got into Egypt. When he went into the house of Potiphar, nobody asked him to obey God and come there. What is God saying to you right now? Are you going to take the job in the house of Potiphar or not? The pay may not be good, but it is the will of God. Just take it. There was nothing like that, though. All that happened was what? Potiphar bought a slave. The Ishmaelites did sharp, sharp business. Some brothers didn't like their brother. They bought from them. And then went and sold to Potiphar in the slave market. That man arrived in the house of Potiphar without anybody asking him, how did you get here? In the house of Potiphar, now, let me explain something. He did what was his own conscious knowledge of the will of God. He walked in righteousness and showed excellence in his work. They had him land in prison. They discussed with him. They didn't do anything like that. He woke up one day. Mrs. Potiphar did what was wrong. He did what was right. And he ended in prison. Pastor Paul, you will say, what is the will of God? He said, do the right thing. The consequence is the will of God. Another quotation from Pastor Paul's mouth. He said, what's the will of God? He said, do the right thing. Whatever falls out of it is the will of God. And that's what happened to Joseph. The day he left prison and became prime minister in Egypt, it was also a consequence of just being Joseph. Why? He saw some people in distress. He helped them some time before that. 2 years later, There was a situation in Aso Rock, and then they called the ministers. Oh, that one of them said, oh, I remember one boy. Maybe he's still in prison. Let's check. They went and brought him out of prison. He came to the throne in Egypt, not deliberately. The Lord moved him there. Are you getting my point? And that was the plan of God for his life. That is why I do not believe. I do not adhere strictly to this doctrine that we often preach in Pentecostal circles, that you have to pray until God shows you his plan. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. He can lead you into his plan. I said something the other day, and I'll talk about it when it comes to possessing the land, that one major thing God does for you is to open doors. Derek Prince will tell you when he moved to the U.S., all right, he was a British man. When he moved to the U.S., he went to go and relieve a pastor who was going on a long leave. So when he arrived in the U.S., he said, how long will you stay? He said, 6 months. All right? He arrived intending to stay 6 months. He never went back. He never went back. He left home and said, let me go to the U.S. for 6 months. I want to relieve a pastor who's going on a long leave. I'll be the pastor of the church while he's gone. That was it. He never went back to go and reside in his home country, in Great Britain. He was there. Why? Because doors kept opening. Because as he continued to teach, people would listen to him teach, and they said, this guy is good. The full gospel businessmen used him a lot. He was moving from one place to the other, one invitation after another. He became an itinerant teacher, moving from one place to the other. He was writing books and publishing books and teaching on radio. That was what he did for decades until now moved to Jerusalem. I don't know whether he died there or died in the U.S., but finally, you know, but he left just because he went to go and relieve somebody for 6 months. God does not always reveal that will like that. Many times, all he does is just to open doors. Some of those doors, he'll open it. You have to decide whether you want to enter, pass through the door or not. Some of the other doors, he doesn't even open it and ask you whether you want to pass through. They open the door, somebody gives you a kick from behind and close the door from back. Stay there. You think Joseph had an option, whether I work for Pharaoh or not? As long as he remained Joseph, he was going to do that work. That's why I don't believe that the prayer is a God. People say, pray, pray, pray. When you finish praying, you're not quieting your spirit. You're not listening. And then God will talk. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't. You can't force him to talk. If you stay there long enough, your thoughts will speak to you and you'll come and harass me later that God spoke to you. Please, I hope you're getting my point. But what was it that the Lord Jesus did? That's actually where this whole talk is about. When the situation came like that, he took the word and made it prayer. Are you getting my point? That's what I'm talking about for us to do also. At such times, it is not about a conscious knowledge. It was just simply take the word and take it to prayer again. What do I do? It's simple. Open your Bible quickly to Psalm 40. This is how you pray to walk in God's will for your life. This is how you pray so that you know you walk in God's plan for your life. You simply go to things like, first, let me just quickly review what the Lord Jesus said. Jesus said to him, the Lord Jesus said there to the Father, he said, nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. I'm adding many words. If you go to that John chapter 12, he explained that, will I say, Father, deliver me from this hour? He said, no, for this cause I came to this hour. You must understand what was the background of his mind, which is one of the things I've been trying to teach to Christians. You must have a background knowledge of why you are here. You already understand as a believer, you are not here, all right, to enjoy life. I hope you get that already. We understand that already. You're not here to drive a big car or live in a big house. You are here to do something in line with God's overall plan. You are here to contribute your own quota, what God has given you as an assignment. And that's why I said we should open to that Matthew chapter 24. Notice what he said. I just want to read one verse there. Matthew 24. Just go to around verse 45. He said, who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? He said, blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of his possessions. Now that's what I want to read there. That is, you see that each person, he was placed there to be doing something. Are you getting my point? It is that doing, that's our emphasis, that God sent us to come and do something. That's what life is about. It is not about where can I enjoy life better. You know, so these are background thoughts. So the Lord Jesus, in John chapter 12, we're not reading now because of time, he just said, He said, now my soul is troubled unto death. What will I say? Father, deliver me from this hour. He said, no, for this cause I came to this hour. Background knowledge, understanding in his heart. He understood that principle. So when he was going to pray, he was like, it was simple. Not my will, but yours be done. You know, sometimes we pray as Christians thinking that if we pray enough, God will change his mind. No, our prayer is not to get God to change his mind. There are two things in prayer. One, we give God our words as the authority to allow him come into the earth to do what he already planned to do. So when we see it written in the scriptures, we pray accordingly. Are you getting my point? Then number two, we pray. Another major reason why we pray is not to change. God's mind does not ever really change. What changes in God, what changes is our minds. Are you getting my point? We pray until our own wills are consciously and convincingly, I'm looking for a word and I've not found it, until our wills are totally, I think totally is better, subjected to his own. Jesus knew the will of the Father, but the flesh, that's why he said to the disciples, he said, what are you doing? You are sleeping. He said, pray that you do not enter into temptation. He said, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Is weak. What he was saying is this. You pray until the flesh is also, in quote, willing. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. That is, what we do is to subject the flesh to the willingness of the spirit. That's what the prayer is about. Sometimes people think that I want to know the will of God. It is not about that conscious knowledge. It is about subjecting the flesh to the willingness of the spirit to obey. That's what the prayer is about. Many times say, oh, should I marry this man or not marry him? Listen, many times when you are praying as a young woman, it's not should I marry him that's your problem. It is the reason why I don't want to marry him. How do I overcome it? I don't know whether you hear what I said there. Listen, no, that's a very deep statement, though. No, really, what I've said is a matter of fact. Many times that prayer, let me give you an example. Where are the two people don't marry from? But this is my, okay, assuming I don't know. You are from Arochukwu. They say you can never marry a man from Arondizogu. Okay, Umuleri and Aguleri, yes. Yes, let's use that as an example. Then the man now comes and says, marry me. You are from Umuleri. She's from, he's from Aguleri. And you want to go and tell your father who's a chief in your place. When I say, is it God's way? Is it God's way? It's not God's way. That's not what your problem is. I hope you understand my point. Once the Lord, if possible, let this cup of family troubles pass over. That's exactly what your prayer is about. Many times people say that God, my spirit didn't agree. What happened was that they could not subject the reluctance of this flesh to the willingness of the spirit. That's all. But I won't say that I'm not led. Who is leading? The spirit said like this, flesh said lie, lie. So they say I'm not led. You don't know who is leading. Sometimes our flesh is so strong. The spirit is weak. And that's what the Lord Jesus was saying. He said, pray that you do not fall into temptation. He said, because the spirit is willing. The spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. What was he telling you? Even me, do you know how I arrived here? I had the spirit to obey. When I thought of the sufferings, oh boy, I said, come. We suspended the arrival of the Roman soldiers until we settled the reluctance of the flesh. That's what I'm preaching. Many of the times, what is the will of God? The will of God is so clear. If we can subject, listen, I know what I'm talking about. If we can subject the weakness of the flesh to the willingness of the spirit, the will of God becomes clear. The proverbial sister from Umuleri or Aguleri, you know the truth? If she gets to a point of prayer and that she can resolve that crisis, she already knows whether it's the will of God or it's not. All this, let me pray, is simply because, hey, this is village meeting on my head. We don't pray just to change God's mind. That's not, his mind is not changing. Especially when it comes to things like this, his mind does not ever change one bit. We just pray until we are able to submit, or to subject the reluctance of the flesh to the willingness of the spirit. And that's what my teaching this evening is about. How does a man do it? How does a woman do it? It's simple. You take the scriptures. I talk about background knowledge that the Lord Jesus had in mind. I was saying we should open somewhere before. Psalm 40, right? Quickly, let's read that. Brethren, this is what prayer is about. This is what prayer is about. Prayer is not how to get things. It is how to be able to live according to God's plan, according to God's will, until we subject our will totally and compel our flesh also to be willing, to be strong. That's better. I remember I read from that New Century Version. He said, pray for the strength to overcome temptation. And that's what the devil does, tempt us away from the will of God. Psalm 40. He says, sacrifice. Let me start from verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. I will declare and speak of them. If I will declare and speak of them, they will be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. Giving offerings, literally now, I'm applying to modern day Christianity, is not what you're asking for. Let me run up and down serving you is not what you're asking for. He said, my ears you have opened. He said, burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Now, this is a simple scripture, prophetic about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm saying to you, that's all you need to pray at such times. Listen, there's what the Bible calls vain repetitions. Are you getting my point? There are repetitions that are vain. But you see, the Lord Jesus prayed the same prayer as the Bible told us three times. That means that those, for him, the repetition was in vain. And from that, I'm picking this one. You read scriptures like this until, listen, tell your neighbor, the word works. The word. Say it again, the word works. It is when you utter these kind of words again and again that it divides, you know, it kills the reluctance of the flesh. It is the word that does it. And that's why the Lord Jesus kept on coming back to the Father. Not my will, but yours be done. I delight to do your will. Thy law is within my heart. I delight to do your will. Thy law is within my heart. That is what he needs to do. Or that's what he needed to do. It takes the word to fight. That's what the word of God is for. It's not to get what we want. It's to ensure that God gets what he wants. I told you many years ago, a friend of mine, when he wanted to make his plans to leave the country, I asked him, why are you doing this? When he finished giving me the reasons, the financial reasons, the family pressure and all of that, I felt like a selfish, which word do I use to describe myself? And I felt like a very, very wicked Christian. Like I said earlier, it's easy to be hungry all alone. But when other people depend on you, suddenly things are different. That I remember that day I was depressed. Because all the reasons he gave me why he needed to leave the country, this was around 1996, thereabout. 96, 97. All the reasons he gave me were totally non-selfish. All the reasons he gave were so non-selfish. He reminded me that one of his sisters, I did not even know, had a congenital heart defect. And I said, I know that they have to do the surgery eventually. He said, somebody has to come up with the money. You know, when he was giving me reasons, I was feeling bad. Because all my own before, why I was not so interested in all of this, run for money, and was that if it is trek, we'll trek. You know, those kind of things. What is the big deal? But when he went beyond himself, I knew I had a problem. And as I was, that evening, I sat down, I was meditating. I don't know whether I was praying. But suddenly one scripture came to my mind. Except a man hates his father, mother, brother, and sister, and all of these people, he cannot be my disciple. When that word hit, I knew I was on the right track. I knew what I was doing was right. That the Lord Jesus was saying that all this one you are saying is good, though. However, some things are superior. I have a specific plan for your life. I relaxed. That's why you are here this evening, hearing me preach. And listen, if I pray enough, now don't laugh at what I'm about to say, and I subject the flesh enough, maybe you won't find me here next week. Why? Maybe there's another place. God will say, now that you are willing, let's move you. You'll say, where's Pastor? Say he traveled. Okay, Mute is preaching. You assume he'll be back next week. Now, so the prince, they go. He didn't come back again. He has gone somewhere else. Listen, this is what I'm talking about. This is what we do with prayer. This is what we do with prayer. It's not, you don't use prayer to rationalize your way until God agrees with you. Say, God, you know, if we do this now, the money will be money plenty for the ministry. Because I didn't send you into money-making ministry. There are those I call to do that. I sent you to word preaching ministry. leave this money thing alone. If you try it, you will spoil it. You don't even have the grace for it anyway. Because you go and check why you are owing everybody. You are a nice guy, but you don't know how to do business. You have explained for years. I said no. Instead of using this energy to convince me to allow you, why don't you use the energy to convince yourself to allow me? I don't know whether I get the point. You be praying, say, God, you know, you every day argue with me. Just come, not my will, but yours be done. Come and give me that one. Not my will, but yours be done. The world works. That's what I'm going to say. You can't plan. You don't have a 30-year plan. Any Christian with a 30-year plan is just laughing, just joking. There's no Christian that ever have an effective 1-year plan. Can have a 1-year desire projection. But what's going to happen to you? You don't know. Just occupy until what? Occupy until he comes. He's going to come one day. When you get to those, such situations, it is not that you have to make a decision. What we are doing is to convince to subject our flesh with prayer. We read this scripture. Like I said some the other time, these scriptures are prayers. Prayers is not, Father, you see, you must understand the way things are going. You know, in my family, I don't know. What am I going to do? That's why prayer is long. Sometimes people say that I pray. Those days when I was young, I used to say, some people can pray. They say, man, pray for 8 hours. I have now realized that majority of the people didn't pray. They were just there complaining and grumbling for 8 hours. At such times, listen, you don't need plenty English. I keep on saying it. Just read. That is, literally, read. Read this scripture to yourself. Open to Psalm 139, another scripture to read. Walking in God's plan is not hard. He wants to walk in you both to will and to do. This is how you handle it. They say, move from Enugu and move to Abuja. Or you are currently in Abuja, they say, move from here and go to Kaduna. You are not sure you want to go. Or you are a pastor in a church. Maybe you are a branch pastor. They want to transfer you. You say, what am I going to do? It's simple. You come down to Psalm 139 and begin to read out this prayer. Or begin to pray out these words. He said, for you formed my inward parts, from verse 13. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they will outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Now let me just stop here. Why did I read this? When we say things like this, we are commanding our flesh, we are commanding our souls, we are commanding our spirits to align with the will of God, to align with the plan of God. This is how it is. It is not about the plans you have, the thoughts you have, ideas people have given you to solve your immediate problems. Let me just say this to you. Let me say this as a Christian. When it comes to changing geographical location, please, oh, be careful. What did I say? Tell your neighbor, before you move, be careful, oh. Before you just vex, leave one office and move to another. Be careful. I am not saying you will never move in life. No, did anybody say that? I just said what? Yeah. Be careful. Before you change your business, be careful. Before you just pack your whole family and leave one country and move to another one, be careful. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Dollar is not God. Ability to earn pounds is not God. Euro is not enough to command your respect. I hope you get my point. Euro shouldn't make you move up and down. Why are you moving to Germany? Look at the pay packet. Any other thing? It's just the pay packet. Oh boy, go and pray. That is temptation. He said, pray that you do not fall into temptation. Pray to have the strength to resist temptation. Temptations are called temptations because they are what? It's because they are tempting. If they were not tempting, they wouldn't be called temptations. It's so important we get it. Sometimes you come and you ask a believer, why are you moving from this country to another? No, the way the thing just came. I said, okay, if you're a single man, you're going on the road, and the harlot just sees you and says, oh boy, see as you're fine, I won't marry you. Will you say it just came so easy? You go agree? All these things that just came and you like it is because your heart. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I wasn't there. I mean, let's leave this thing. I'm not emphasizing, listen, before you make any decision like that in your life, what do? Be careful. What kind of care are you saying? You know, David said something. He said, try me and know what? My anxious thoughts. I like that scripture. He said, try me and know my anxious thoughts. Because many times people are doing things, it's those anxious thoughts that are the problem. That is, you have projected, look at my future. What is going to happen? Those anxious thoughts push a lot of people. Many of your brethren that just get up today, today he's in this country, he's doing something, tomorrow he's in another one. Sometimes they don't even know what they are going to do. That's the one I don't understand. Even if you want to plan humanly, use human wisdom completely. Don't use it halfway. Sometimes people like to use half God, half human. So you are leaving Nigeria, you are going to maybe US, you are going to say, what are you going to do there? When we get there, the Lord will decide. You see, what I don't understand is that if they want the Lord to see, then let him see from here. Abraham left his house before he told his son that thing on the road. It was because the Lord told him something at home. That's why he was telling his son on the way that the Lord will see. In the manner that the Lord shall be provided. It's not as if just Isaac, come, let's go. Let's be going. Where are we going? I don't know. Just feel like going today. Where are we going? The Lord will decide when we get there. The Lord was leading him. I'm not even an issue here. If you want the Lord, if you want to make decisions, let the Lord lead from the beginning. Not only at the end. You start praying for miracles when you toss yourself into the wilderness. Christians do that. You toss yourself into the wilderness, then you start praying for a miracle. God said, put you in a land. That land has seed time and harvest. I said, just be sowing your seed. Harvest will come later. You jump into the wilderness and you are demanding a rain manna. You know, there are times the Lord will just be embarrassed, if it was possible. He said, this is my children. If I don't answer them now, they said, our God is not coming through when we need him. Meanwhile, you came into the wilderness when I left you in the promised land. Why? Because you said, I've been in seed time for 5 years. I don't know whether I get to my point. That's when I don't understand people. Okay, what are you going to do when you go to where you're going? They don't know. They have no idea. That is foolishness. Where you are right now, it may be that you are in the seed time. And the good thing that I like about seed time is that it means that there is harvest coming. That's what I mean. Back to the statement I made. Before you change your geographical locations, what did I say? Be careful. What should you do? Simple. Take these scriptures. And what are you doing by them? Let me just summarize. You are saying to God, in effect, the word works. So you are saying to the word, work in my life. You go because of time, let me just end it here. You go to Jeremiah also. Jeremiah, the Lord said to him, and he said, what I say to one, I say to all. He said to him, before you were born, I knew you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I consecrated you to be a prophet. He said, Lord, therefore, you did, because he said, because he has said, we can boldly say. So we can also derive from that. Lord, I know that before I was born, you knew me. There's something you said I should do. The steps I'm about to take, let them be pleasing to you. Let it be the step that you want me to take. In summary, use the words of the Lord Jesus. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. When you utter words like that, God leads different ways. The door that was open before, God can close it, bam, in your face. Everybody now call and say, we are so sorry. You know that job we're promising you that's supposed to be in Germany. I don't know. I don't know how to say this to you. I know you're already making plans. Say, what happened? My boss said to give to his nephew. And he said, praise God. Why are you happy? It doesn't matter that yesterday you prayed. Nevertheless. There are times you just wake up in the morning, you just know. You are just sure. How do you know you don't know? The only thing that you know that you know. That this one, I remember then when I was in Lagos, it happened to me. I got home from church. I bought the tape, Rhema, the Living Word of God by Bishop David Oyedepo. I went to have a bath so I could have a nice night, good sleep. And after having a bath, my eyes cleared up very well. You know, the sleep will disappear for some minutes before it returns. I said, okay, let me play a message till I fall asleep. I still do that till now. So I put in a tip into the player, and it began to play. And 5 minutes after it started playing, I stood up so that I wouldn't fall asleep. I sat down squarely, listened to the message for 45 minutes. By the time it was through, I knew that the move I was about to make was not the will of God. And what did he say? And he just introduced something to me. That was my first time. To let me know that it's not everything I do that's God's will. That I have to be careful to be sure that it's God that is actually leading me. Then I realized that it was my discomfort of being in Lagos that was leading me. It was not God. I just realized I was uncomfortable. If you know me very well, I dislike hectic cities. Life was a bit uncomfortable for me at that time. Things were a bit uncomfortable. So that was pushing me. I can say it like this. Those were my anxious thoughts. And then when I listened to that message for 40, 45 minutes, instantly, I knew, I don't know. All I know is that next day, I just went back to work. I'm not going anymore. There are different ways. But listen, the only way we can be where God commanded us to be, let's not be like Demas. He said, Demas has departed from me. Because he loved this world, the things of this world so much, he moved over to Thessalonica. Many times that is what is happening. How should Demas have handled the situation? When he saw that things were rough and Thessalonica was a good, beautiful city, he should have gone to kneel down and say, Lord, you created me for a purpose. I was born for a reason. I wasn't born just to enjoy. I was born to be of service to you. Make sure, Father God, I submit myself again to you so that I will be of effective service to you. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Read these scriptures I'm talking about. A body, if you read that Psalm 40 in the book of Hebrews, it says, a body that has prepared for me. That is the reason why you gave me this body. There is a reason. There is a reason. I remember when I finished my residency that time, people said, I want to go and look for a job in a very big company where they pay a lot of money because, yes, people like me were extremely poorly paid. What I didn't understand was that I had to teach. The teaching was itching me. Are you getting my point? Do you hear what I said? Once in a while, I have these rhymes that drop from nowhere. The teaching was itching me. How did teach? I had an itch. It was to teach. Woo! I had an itch. It was to teach. And the teaching was itching me. So I had to give it expression. So everything in my life, I was planned around the ability to teach. In the secular world, I teach. And I don't know how I knew it. I told everybody then, when I finish in Lagos, I'm going to go somewhere. I don't know where. But when I get there, I'm going to start a teaching ministry. And how I got to Enugu is a long story, which many of you know already. But a friend of mine just came and said, why don't you come to Enugu? They need people like you. When two independent people said it at the same time, I knew something was going up. I knew something was coming up. I knew the Lord was up to something. So we said, okay, let's come and pay the place a visit. Let's make a long story short. That's how we arrived here. A few months after I arrived, one day I went to Lagos. Hey, position had opened either in Luce or UCH or somewhere. Whether I would be interested in it. I showed the person telling me our first set of tracks. I said, PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria. Sorry, that one has come to stay. Because most people did not believe I came to Enugu because I wanted to come. They thought coming to Enugu was just because there was no space in Luth, there was no space in UCH. And no, I had space in Ife, for goodness sake. Professor Ojo told me your office is ready. There were spaces, but I felt I was being led. So I was careful to check, where am I going? And once I arrived here, I said, this is where the Lord has sent us. And then we tabernacled here. We don't know where we're going to be tomorrow. But as of today, we are here. And I hope you are being blessed. And I hope you were blessed. Let's rise to our feet. Let's rise to our feet. Because of time, we're just going to close now. But let me just give us a minute or two to just, everybody open your Bibles to those Psalms and begin to pray. Read it at your own time with your own words. Psalm 40 and Psalm 139. And as you are reading them, all right, first, let's just first read it together so everybody will just, Psalm 139. So please just stay in that Psalm 139. Everybody repeat after me, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, "Wonderful are your works, O God."
Wonderful.
He said, "My frame was not hidden from you,
when I was made in secret."
Verse 16 says, "Your eyes have seen my unformed
substance,
and in your book," repeat it like that,
"in your book,
they were all written,
the
days that were ordained for me,
even
when there was not yet any one of them." Let's begin to pray. Now you have that open, begin to use it to pray. Just read out to yourself again and again, and you are thinking about that decision you have to take. God was saying, "I made it for a purpose. It's not every business that is yours. It's not every ministry that is yours. I created you to do something." Say, "Lord, I want to do that which you created me to do." Because of time, I'll just recite that one. Psalm 40 says, "Sacrifice and offering you have not desired." Say to the Lord, say, "Look, it's not just me trying to give to you or trying to work for you. I must do that which you created me to be, to do." Just take time out and just, you know, pour your heart out to the Lord. He said, "Know my anxious thoughts." Sometimes, that's the thing that's leading us. It's not whether God wants us to go here or not go there. We just have these thoughts. Thoughts of anxiety. What's going to happen? Say, "Lord, know my anxious thoughts. Lead me in the way everlasting." Say, "Lord, know my anxious thoughts." It's in that same Psalm 139, actually, towards the end. Say, "Search me, O God." It's a very important prayer. "And know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way." Very powerful prayer. Now, those anxious thoughts, when God reveals them to you, it's simple. Like Jabez, pray about them. Jesus said, you know, "Don't worry about them. Your Father knows what you need." Paul said, "Commit those things with prayer and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Then the peace of God that passes all understanding," I want to paraphrase, "will let you know what is right for you to do. And it will lead you in the everlasting way." Let's begin to give the Lord thanks so that we can close. Say, "Lord, we thank you." Thank you, Lord. Say, "Lord, thank you." Say, "Lord, thank you." That is how to pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord is good.